let me introduce you to these fellows to the north. One name is Addy, the other is Mo. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Remember that, these fellows to the north. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Mo's just fat. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
For sponsorship for those, what they call those like, cast red ads, like, are you a cunt? Huh. Do you enjoy other cunt-like things? Go to lynda.com.
Okay, so they're, what you're saying is they're geared towards Dixie.
Not sure. I'm just hoping, because otherwise, we probably, won't be asked to sponsor.
Alright, well, I'm recording.
What?
I'm recording!
Is it like a test?
Nope. It'll require me doing some editing, but not much.
Huh. Alright. Well, hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo.
How you doing, Mo?
I'm on Skype with you. On my Xbox One.
You're doing fantastic.
Yeah.
Couldn't be better, literally.
I literally, man, and see where I'm sitting right now? You're thinking, what a comfortable couch. But imagine if you were to spend the next 8 months sleeping on it as a bed.
Hmm. Yeah, I used to be, I was married before, too.
Good point.
Oh, your dog is barking.
You can hear that all the way there, can you?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great on the podcast. I guess... I'm in another room, I got the door closed, and I presume she, well, she has met you, so I presume she doesn't like you.
Yeah.
We mentioned this will be a great podcast, right?
This is going to be a great show.
Do you want me to take care of the dog?
No, I don't care.
Yeah. Because I can use my techniques. Hold on, this is the technique I use with my dog when she's misbehaving. I'm patient, and I'm very, yeah.
Caesar Milan taught him this.
Leia.
Dog whisperer.
Leia, come here. Princess Leia. Come here. Come here. Shut up!
Voice really carries for a fat guy. I'm not sure if he can hear me right now.
Well, I'm what you call sensitive.
Well, he's got, where you've got video thing, what's that called?
Connect.
Camera. Where you got the
connect
camera?
Connect.
Where you got the connect camera? And when you walked back to your dog, it was like those when King Kong Bundy was returning in, like, 1994 videos.
Oh, hey! Yeah! Yeah, wait, we aren't doing a video or a podcast, so I have no sense of me dancing in front of you.
Really not.
No. King Kong Bundy. So anyways, I got my dog to shut up.
Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Raw.
Why?
Because it was war.
It was in the 90s.
It was.
Well, this is where it's a good time for me to make my announcement.
Oh, yes. Yes, your announcement.
Yeah. I am no longer watching Raw.
All right. Ever?
No. Not ever. But I am off WWE standard programming over the air. I'm taking a break because I am sick and tired of watching the same matches, and
yes.
And it's so boring. And keep in mind, I'm a guy who wants thunder to the end. So, I mean, I'm pretty hardcore. I can take a lot of bullshit. But I can't take this anymore. I can't take the 3-hour Raws, and I rarely watch SmackDown anyways because Raws burned me out so much. Not that I'm watching less wrestling. I'm actually watching more wrestling, but it's like a weight has been lifted. Like, I no longer am beholden to watching the specific wrestling that I watch on Monday nights just out of habit. I can now watch whatever I want. I can watch the network. I can watch stuff online. I can order other pay-per-views. I can watch all sorts of great stuff and not be beholden to watching the same matches with the same lame characters, the same lame storylines, the same lame finishes, the titles that don't matter, matches without consequences, repetitive, boring Monday nights.
Well, you see that, and just to briefly dispel that, pretty soon it's going to be a new day, and then you will have matches with consequences.
Consequences Creed.
Consequences Creed.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. You did good there.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Speed Force.
Yes. A new day.
A new day.
So I guess they're not main eventing Fastlane.
I don't know.
We could always hope.
A new day.
Yeah.
A new day in the Fastlane.
Oh. Yeah. Wasn't that a Tom Cochran song?
Let's hope not. No, but I mean...
A new day in the Fastlane. I'm gonna ride it all night long. Like that?
So basically what you're saying is that you've got to go back and you've got to find your smile.
I already found it. I think I watched more wrestling this week, but I didn't watch... I wasn't... See, so, I mean, that's it. I mean, and obviously, we're going to WrestleMania. And yeah. Wrestling will get good again somewhere around January. Or WWE will get good again. So somewhere around January, I'll start watching. And I'll watch it right up until March. Pardon me?
Yes.
Yeah, I watch...
30-man Royal Rumble. No longer 40.
Oh, good. I was actually thinking that, because I'm like... If you take away the announcers and the women on the roster, there's barely 40 guys there.
Yeah.
Just so a little 30. Over. Yeah, so it's much better. Otherwise they're going to be bringing people in from Mexico and Japan and youngsters like Carlos Colon again.
Seriously, they're not going to bring anybody in from Mexico.
But, well, they did before, amazingly.
Yes, and then they fucked them over.
Well.
All three of them.
I guess. What about Sin Cara?
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Sin Cara? Oh, no, I guess Sin Cara is the tag team champ, so he's doing great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's from Puerto Rico, but he's doing great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they're all from Puerto Rico.
It's true, originally.
But, yeah, no, I mean, that's Africa. I will in January. I'll start watching again. I'll watch until the end of WrestleMania, and then I will probably stop
or reevaluate. Yes.
Yeah, I'll probably stop, and if Extreme Rules seems like it's going to be good, fine.
Seriously.
But I'll probably stop, and then as we'll build up to the Money in the Bank Elimination Chamber SummerSlam thing, I might watch that 3 months because that's kind of a 3-month stretch now.
Yeah.
And maybe I will if they get my interest. And if there's something that catches my interest in between, I'll watch it. And I'll read about the show. I'll read recaps. I'll listen to podcasts. I'll follow it. And I'll watch on the network. I mean, I watched on the network this week. I watched the last month worth of NXTs. I watched the DX panel they had on there, which is superiorly inferior to our exclusive DX panel from the Royal Rumble 2 years ago. Definitely. That's one thing that... It, that's true. It's certainly missing the profanity by Triple H.
It is.
Yeah. But I'll watch that. I watched pay-per-views on there. I watched main events so I could watch Sami Zayn versus Tyson Kidd and see how they performed and how the crowd reacted to them in a big arena. I mean, I'm watching, but I'm not watching Raw, SmackDown. I'm not watching the stuff that they're force-feeding me. I'm watching my thing.
Yeah. I am... Gonna have to go and see that Tyson Kidd Sami Zayn main event match. I haven't seen that yet. That's I've watched like maybe an hour of the network in the last.
Yeah, this is for you. This is like your busiest time at work. And
so I get a little behind on the network. I don't usually get. Usually, I get at least
And I presume that hour of the network was the Nitro.
It was actually. Well, the 1 hour was the Nitro. The other hour was or whatever it was. The other little bit was Rusev winning the United States Heavyweight Championship,
which I have not watched, but. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things to note from that. I mean, it's a great thing that Rusev is United States champion.
Yes.
B, it shows you where their focus is, being the network. You know, that you can see this exclusive match on the network. And I mean, as soon as they announce the match, it's like, okay, Rusev's winning the title on the network, so they could say, look what happened on the network, which I have no problem with. That's what they used to do in the 90s on house shows.
We were saying this when we were listing what it is the network could do better recently.
This is
one of the things we're listing. Now, they could have done it better than they did it.
Well, I mean, they could have promoted it, you know, but I mean, it is what it is, and it's doing it. I don't know that they could have done it better given what they've been doing. You know what I mean? Like they could, in 6 months, they could have done this better. But here today, in whatever, November of 2014, I don't know that they could have done it better.
Yeah, they could have. You could have promoted it more than that, than deciding, hey, this match is going to be on Royal Rumble. Let's build this match. Hey, I got an idea. Let's do this after the show tonight on the network. And then just promote it and have your guys wrestle other matches on the show, and one of them lose by count out, and all that stuff. There's a lot of ways you could have done it better.
Yeah, no, that was awesome, because that you lost it to Tyson. Nobody gave a fuck, kid.
Well, why would they? Why? I know. Why would you possibly? Here's a guy who's been in the company five years in the main roster.
6-7 years. Oh, in the main roster, yeah.
Probably like 5 years. I don't think he's made 10 appearances over the last three years on the main roster.
Well, more than that, but yeah.
I don't, on Raw?
In the last 3 years? Or
on Raw?
Year?
On Raw.
On Raw. How about on Raw?
On Raw. Do you think he's made more than 10 appearances? You know, the show people besides me watch.
In 3 years?
Yeah.
Probably 10, but nothing,
no personality has been given to him to the main roster crowd. So why would they care?
No. Hello. He wears headphones.
Yeah, that actually segment on Main Event is pretty great. He's wearing the headphones.
Yeah. I do need to see that. Well, that's his thing now. He wears headphones.
Yeah.
Nobody knows why, but he wears headphones.
Doesn't matter. I see it on UFC. I'll see them pounding the music and a guy walking out to different music with headphones on. It's just a thing people do. It's actually... What's that?
This is WWF. Need to fucking do something with the headphones.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. They do.
No, they don't.
Well, they shouldn't, but they do.
No, you're saying they're going to do something. Not that they should. Not that they have to. You're saying they have to do something with the headphones. They don't have to.
They will. It's inbred in their fucking nature, like two people from Saskatchewan.
Inbred. Yes, they will do something with it. You're right. They shouldn't. It's just the fact people see it. Most people just know. They just like this. Again, same thing. I think LeBron James wears headphones when they're doing the warm ups and he's shooting the basket around. People just kind of assume that it's actually just kind of a trendy thing to do. He's actually, you know, this guy's actually on the cusp of something currently in pop culture. So he definitely stands out as out of place in WWE.
Woo, woo, woo.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah. So they will do something with it. You're right. They shouldn't have to. I like that his trunks have, on the side it says kid on the back, on the side it says fact. But then I like that his two cats are his shin pads. Pictures of his cats are. Because again, you don't have to be watching, Total Divas to really get why that's funny, but. I mean, the guy's got tons of personality, so of course they don't care about him. But we said this about the Usos. They didn't care about them for months. I mean, Ryback was coming out and squishing guys for months before he started getting a reaction. New Age Outlaws back in the day got no reaction. So of course he's not getting a reaction. Doesn't mean you give up on it. If you think he has a personality now and a gimmick you can market, you keep going with it, and eventually people will react.
Oh, I mean, he's going to get a mid-card doofus heel shot here to, you know, just be the new kind of stupid lower mid-card heel for the next, whatever, couple of months. And then, you know, it'll get up to the rumble.
Did you hear that? Did that make a noise?
What noise?
That noise when I was drinking this.
Oh, who drinks on a podcast?
It's dangerous for me to be drinking because I'm in my place, you're in your place there. And if you say something about how all wrestling is important and I start to laugh, there's nobody here to save my life.
I forget what. I had a similar conversation with the producer last week about that.
About what?
She said something about, and you're going to need to make time for wrestling. I said, there's always time. Also, she was talking about baby names the other day, and she had just randomly, and she shot down the name Shawn Michael.
Better be Owen.
But I think I got Owen for the middle name.
Alright, that's not bad. That's not bad.
I think I managed to get that one in for that. But speaking of Owen,
Kevin Owen was the little debut at the December NXT RF. Our evolution.
Yes. And on December the 13th, I will be seeing Dane Cook.
For the Owen Hart Foundation.
The Jubilee Auditorium for the Owen Hart Foundation fundraiser. Yes.
So you're going to go see. Well, it is for a good cause, so thanks for taking the bullet and seeing Dane Cook.
Yes, I know. That was my. The producer wanted to see Dane Cook. I wanted to go to the Owen Hart Foundation thing, so we met in the middle.
It's good of you. Good of you to sacrifice, care about other people. So tell me what happened on Raw. Anything I should give a fuck about?
Randy Orton's a baby face.
Yeah. Good luck ever getting me to give a fuck about Randy Orton. And I like Randy more than you do. I care. I think he's a better performer than you, better wrestler. Yeah. I like him more than you. I was up. I never have any ill feelings towards him like you. But, I mean, good luck getting me to care about him as a babyface.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whatever. Now he's a babyface. You know, whatever. It was a good angle. It was a great angle. And Seth Rollins beat him clean in the middle. Right? So, I mean, rolled him up clean in the middle. No, you know, there was the whole, you know, the Stooges or whatever. A little distraction, but I mean, this was as clean as you're gonna get, to the point where it didn't seem like a fluke that Seth Rollins beat Randy Orton, which is great news for Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is the number one heel in the company.
Yes, he is.
I said that without laughing. But he is.
No question.
Was that?
I said no question he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, outside of that, I mean, there was a really cool Luke Harper video promo with his eyes.
Yeah.
So he went out, he's coming to get you or whatever. That was really cool. Eric Rowan is a fuck.
Okay.
Still wears the sheep mask. Still wears the janitor outfit. And just now is, like, this dumb. He's, what's his name? Festus, basically.
Oh, you're kidding. I was thinking he was Heidenreich from when I heard about this, but this sounds more like Festus, you're right.
He's got the sheep mask, he looks at Renee and goes, yeah, it was stupid.
You know what would be nice if his next time he touched her and said, mine?
Yeah, well, that's it exactly. That was my first time. Speaking of mine, the Macho Man Randy Savage DVD comes out next week.
Yes, it does.
With documentary.
Yes. And what they've done lately on the network is actually they've released a portion of these documentaries, like a mini one.
Yeah,
you know?
Like Staying in the Brothers of Destruction. construction.
Yeah, yeah, so it'll be a good way to preview it for people, but, I mean, for me, I mean, it's a purchase. You know, I won't be able to find the Blu-ray. You have to order it from Amazon, but it would be a purchase for sure. I mean, I don't even have to know about it. I'll purchase that.
Oh, exactly. That's going to be fucking awesome.
More awesome.
Yeah.
We don't need all the profanity.
What?
All right, go ahead. What am I thinking about? This is We Talk Wrestling.
This is We Fucking Talk Wrestling. Hey, you know, the ratings? Did you hear about the ratings?
Yeah, no. What?
The ratings. There was actually over 4 million people that watched Raw on Monday.
So?
Cena who?
Who, you know who wasn't one of them? This guy.
That guy. Or this guy. Because these are American numbers.
Oh.
Probably Stephen, our good friend Stephen Ajami, was one of them. Happy birthday, Stephen. It's your birthday today.
Yeah, it is. Happy birthday today, Stephen. Thanks for our, thanks for our...
AJ.
Yeah, did you?
Yes.
You're a dick. I'm going to write something about having eaten all his cake, though.
Yeah. He said, thanks, fatty. And I said, no, this is the dick, not the fatty.
That's right. He wrote our theme song.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Ratty.
But he called me a fatty, so I'm not wishing him a happy birthday now. I take it back.
Oh. Yeah. Did you get cake?
Oh, then a happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Let's see what else. But Randy Orton, yeah, he got curb stomped. He's going to go film a movie. So
he won't be at Survivor Series in his hometown?
In St. Louis, he won't be there. Or he'll, I mean, that's, but it's free. So he gives a fuck. And, yeah, he won't be there. One thing I will say about the Survivor Series here, one thing I like about the Survivor Series that I can be positive about is I'm actually really liking the build to the main event. Like, so far we know it's going to be a 5-on-5, but right now all we know is that it's...
Wait, wasn't the key guy on the babyface team for the main event not at Raw?
Yes.
So you liked it?
But it worked.
Huh.
Because they spent the thing then talking to Dolph about how he should be on Team Authority and not on Team Cena, and where is Cena right now? Cena's not here to help you. So it worked. But the thing is right now we only know two of the guys. We know Rollins and Kane and Ziggler and Cena.
Yeah.
They've revealed it. And they spent throughout the show, you know, Stephanie, trying to recruit, like, say, looking at Mark Henry. They're eyeing the Ryback. They're talking to Rusev about joining. So it's been this whole, these two teams are important. They're recruiting. It's a slow sort of build. This Monday, we're going to get Cena versus the Ryback in a match, which I assume is going to...
What?
Yeah, so it's the main event of Raw is Cena versus the Ryback.
Why?
So that Ryback can join Cena's team.
Oh, okay.
So, but I mean,
so you're liking the build in the fact that getting all these people involved and making the being on the main event seem important. But how about the stupidity?
It's also episodic in that it's being laid out over a series of weeks. So it's not like now we know all 10 guys, and now we're going to watch matches between these two guys, like you said, that are going to be fucking repetitious and boring for the next, whatever, 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks since they started this thing. Now it's like, okay, well, these guys are going to do the interviews, people are going to come out, people are going to join the team and not be in the team. Like, it's good that way.
Okay, but how about the stupidity of... Like, if you break down the whole thing with Vince McMahon saying that the Authority can lose power from this, as soon as I heard that, that was where I went. Like, that was the opening segment, and I actually saw on the WWE app, I got a thing saying, breaking news, whatever, Stefani, and I understand from what she was wearing, Stefani sounded accurate. Stefani and Hunter can lose the authority if their Survivor Series team doesn't win, as per Vince McMahon and his appearance on Raw or whatever. And so I start. That was where I went. I'm not watching. Like, because the level of stupid behind that is so intense. Like, it came out of nowhere. It doesn't make any sense in that. I don't even know how Vince McMahon ever gained any power back after being let go.
He's the chairman of the board.
After being relieved of that duty by Hunter in storyline.
No, that while ago. Chief Executive Officer.
I know.
Hunter and Vince
is the Chief Operating Officer. He's the Chief Operating Officer. COO.
Who?
COO, yeah, not CEO. COO.
COO. And Vince is the Chairman of the Board.
Yes, and he was taken, power was taken away from him and given to Hunter. A long time ago. And they never resolved that. Plus,
no,
there's.
They did.
No, they didn't. He just came out one time and had power again.
That's cool.
So you got this, and also, why would he do this to them? Like, what? They haven't done anything he didn't do himself. There's no storyline reason where you can build it up over a long period of time where he reaches that point where it's like, I gotta do this. And it's just. It makes no sense. It's just out of the blue. It's why would he do this to his daughter who he loves and to his son-in-law who, you know, anyways. Like, there's no reason logically behind that. And then, even worse, if you are going to decide whether or not they should have power to run the company or run Raw or whatever it is, I think it's just Raw, but whatever. Wouldn't you decide it by something more than whether or not they can have a team that wins a match? Like, honestly, unless there's some reason to create that match being the reason why, it shouldn't just be, hey, the team, your team won the match, you're obviously best suited to run a company. No, it doesn't, that makes no sense.
I'm going to see Hunter against The Rock at WrestleMania because of this, so I don't care.
You think that's where they're going? Control of the company with Hunter versus The Rock representing Vince?
This was the story they were going to do last year that they dropped, right?
Yeah, they wanted to do it with Austin, and when they couldn't do it with Austin, they wanted to do it with The Rock.
Yeah, and so now they've obviously got their ducks in a row because they're starting it again. So, because they never got off the ground, they kept announcing Vince about this time last year was going to start appearing, and he never did.
No, he never did.
He never did. So now he's appeared, and they're going to start this story, which is about the time you would start a story for,
well, and The Rock's appearance obviously teased it.
Yeah.
But of all the things, I mean, okay, I'm going to see The Rock at WrestleMania is actually the way to put it. I'm going to see The Rock at WrestleMania because of this. Not I'm going to see The Rock versus Triple H at WrestleMania.
Well, that's what we're going to see.
Yeah.
We are going to see The Rock.
But that's not the reason you're excited. You're excited because you're going to see The Rock at WrestleMania, not because you're going to see The Rock versus Triple H.
And I'm going to see The Rock in promos leading up to WrestleMania as well.
That's true. That's true. Maybe he can have Vince do his talking for him.
That would be great.
Actually, in some ways you could. If you can't make every shot and building it up there, you could. Like what they do right now with the Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. Oh, wait.
Well, they did it once. And Heyman's going to be, now that Raw is going to be in England. I don't know how many Raws are from England.
I think it's just one. So we'll see if the crowd shits all over them for what happened with the UK network.
No, we will see if they edit the crowd shitting on them.
Yeah.
Because the crowd is shitting on them. The crowd is shit on them every house show when Vince puts his little Titantron message up saying, you know, sorry about the whole fucking up the network thing.
For those of you not familiar, tell people.
Well, they announced that the network was going to occur on right before Raw. On Monday, or the morning of Raw, I guess, in whatever, that Monday. The network was going to air on Monday. 15 minutes before the network was going to be available to the UK on Monday, they've even gone so far as to take off the international blocker for England so that people could actually access it for a little while if they'd signed up. They announced 15 minutes before launch time that, sorry, I fucked up.
That's basically, in a nutshell, exactly what happened, folks. And so, of course, and you know what? It's actually one I'd forgotten. You and I didn't even talk about this, how UK wasn't launched yet. But I had forgotten when I gave them my prediction on the network numbers.
Right.
I would have definitely come in much lower if I'd realized that Germany and the UK, probably their, you know, second and fourth biggest markets, weren't available. So,
yeah, represent, you know.
Yeah, and the, yeah, but
no, I mean that was so. Yeah, so they did that. To, no network, so they're gonna shit on things. Basically, you'll have a hostile environment there.
Yeah, you will. So. How much time? When it's being filmed? They're 7 hours ahead, are they?
Something like that. There is enough time to edit it. I don't know if they will.
How much can they edit it? Yeah, if the crowd is hostile the whole night.
Yeah.
And if it's the wrong type of heat, I mean, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
But anyways, back to them being in England and Paul Heyman, because it's ECW week on the network.
Yeah, so Paul Heyman not going to be on Raw. He's going to be live, or going to have a studio taped show. Where he hosts something, some ECW memory show, immediately following Raw on the network.
Yeah.
So it'll be like Edge and Christian's SmackDown deal. I'm sure where they'll do clips.
Oh, yeah, probably. That makes sense.
Heyman just hosting a show, right? So,
yeah.
But it'll be good. I'm sure it'll be good. So.
Well, Heyman will be good. I don't know if it'll be good.
Some of the ECW clips, I mean, will be bad, I don't think.
If it's the same ones I've seen a billion and one times.
Just about to say, it just depends. And I'm sure a lot of them will be, because that's, you know, it's like Hogan slamming Andre, right? You're going to see, please, sir, can I have another? The cane. And
yeah.
You know.
So. The chairs, you know, raining into the ring. Actually, that one I can watch a million times.
Which one?
The chairs raining into the ring.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. Well, the best part is Funk. Just
yeah.
Going, taking a flare flop to the front, realizing as he's about to do it, he's about to hit with more chairs, and then just getting out of there and not caring anymore.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good, Terry Funk.
Yeah. Did you hear about SmackDown?
No. Oh, yes. Thursdays. Wednesdays for us.
In Canada, we did it on Wednesday, yeah. So we'll get a sneak peek. Probably won't watch it, but
we could watch it before everybody else.
We could.
Every other country in the world will get it first, and so here we'll be going head to head with, and that's because they have hockey. The same rights carrier is showing hockey on Thursdays, so
yeah,
they can't show that because the ratings are higher for hockey.
Yes.
Plus they have a contract.
Plus they have contract that's a lot higher than WWE contract.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're moving it to, and so it's going to go head-to-head with Canada with NXT, and I think that's kind of funny that that's being billed by some people going, oh, they're going head-to-head. Like, no, you're not going head-to-head with NXT, because NXT, the fact that it's, the live streams in general, I think is a complete waste outside of the pay-per-views by the Raw.
Yeah.
Or on the network. Because I never watch the live stream, I watch what I feel like.
Yeah, I watched the Rusev thing, but outside of that...
Yeah, that doesn't really count, though.
I think I watched the DXP anal right after Raw as well.
So what did you think of the P-anal? Let's talk about it.
Some of it was... you know what? It was clearly edited.
Very heavily.
You know, down. And so we got whatever we got, like an hour version of it. Which I get the feeling was like a 90 minutes convinced to an hour. Because what were our P-anals? They were 90, weren't they?
They're close to 90, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know, I just... It was okay, but it was basically the DX DVD that they told. Like, there was no new information. Like, for us, when we watched it, the Shooting Straight Royal Rumble, when we were there, I mean, they went...
Which you can listen exclusively here at We Talk Wrestling to.
Along
with the NWO WCW panel and the Screwjob panel. With the three biggest names taking part in the panel, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, and of course, Jerry Lawler.
Jerry Lawler, when I think Screwjob. I think Jerry Lawler. I also think 15-year-old. But I think, was it Stryker was the host of the WCW/NWO one, and then Michael Cole was the host of the DXP, you know, the shooting straight Royal Rumble one. But, I mean, that one, they told stories. They brought in all of DX.
The difference is, ours is the one week you could listen to from us. That one was clearly a test run. I mean, they taped it, but they clearly had no use ever intend to use it. They didn't know what they were doing. This was very controlled. The questions were better from Cole. The questions were very, very well laid out. They were some fresh questions and everything like that. But the other one contained questions from the crowd, which created a lot more sense of spontaneity. And it was just fun. It was a lot looser, and it was funny. Like, the few times that Michaels and Triple H in this panel on the network try to tell jokes, they all fall flat. The crowd never laughs. A little bit when they're seeing some of the clips, but yeah, I mean, and it doesn't focus so much on DX, obviously, as just Shawn Michaels and Triple H, this one, whereas the other one focused on DX as a whole.
We didn't know that. We thought it was just going to be when we got the thing. I thought it was going to be a Hunter Shawn thing as well, but then, yeah, X-Pac and Outlaws also come out. They spent a lot of time. I mean, and I guess in both panels they talked about China, which I thought was a bit surprising on the second one. I thought that would have been kind of edited. But I mean, all in all...
Well, it was definitely edited. I mean, there wasn't a lot of talk of her being on there. Let's put it this way, actually, no. There was talk of her being on there. They talked about how she became their bodyguard. And he says, because we saw this chick, she was supposed to meet Blackjack Lanza. And, when he was heading down to see them, and we had just seen her in the bar, and he's like, oh, no, I forgot she's down there. Just going to go get a drink, because, you know, he was an agent in the WWE back in the day, so he was a lush. And he's going to go down there and get drunk, and instead he's like, I have to meet this chick. Anyways, they saw her, and they immediately thought to ourselves, okay, well, I had Curtis Hughes as my bodyguard for 2 weeks, Triple H said. It didn't work out. What's more heat than a female bodyguard? And that was it. They did it. They're like, it's just great heat. And it's true. But they didn't really put her over. Like, the one that we had, they really put her over as being really important to the act and how much she contributed and how many ideas she had. And so they didn't really do that in this one.
And they might have. We just didn't get to see it.
Well, it doesn't help that she recently was cutting some promos talking about how her life has been awful. Since she's been giving interviews talking about how her life has been awful since leaving WWE and how much she hates them and how much she... All this stuff. This woman's such a train wreck that she's, you know, she's gone off the rails again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think she is maybe the least likely person who should be in the Hall of Fame that won't be. And I have no question, based on their criteria, she should be in the Hall of Fame. Based on name recognition, groundbreaking in the fact that she actually wrestled men. She wasn't a good wrestler, she wasn't a good promo, and yet she was a huge success. She sold a lot of stuff for them. What's that?
Intercontinental champion.
She sold a lot of merchandise in her day and everything. She was a very important figure.
Playboy magazine.
And so she's not a good wrestler, she's not a good talker, but she's an important figure, and there's people that she's way more important than some of the people in the Hall of Fame. She's a slam dunk WWE, not a Wrestling Observer Hall of Famer, but a slam dunk WWE Hall of Famer. And even being in the porno where she gets gang banged by 12 men, didn't seem to ruin her enough, because I don't think enough people ever found out about it.
I think it ruined her.
Well, it ruined her in a different way, but I don't think it even ruined her chances. It's just this continuing to talk. Maybe it did. I don't know. I just think she's probably the most deserving person who will never go in. Unlike, say, a Lex Luger, who's not deserving and won't go in. It's
He's
fine.
Deserving, he just won't go in.
Oh, you changed your tune, have you?
Well, I mean, if you're
he'll probably go in, actually, and he's not deserving.
Not here, but he's deserving.
Well, based on their criteria again, but she's more deserving based on their criteria. and she won't. I don't think she'll. I think she's probably the most deserving based on their criteria that will never go in. A Medusa Miceli is somebody else. Medusa is somebody else who Alondra Blaze is deserving that will never go in. These are probably the two most deserving people that
I
can't see ever going in.
I know that she'll never go in. I mean, at least Medusa has gone to Stanford and done interviews.
That's who, Jeff Jarrett's the other one.
Yes, yeah, Jeff Jarrett's definitely the guy that won't go.
The deserving guy that won't go in. I'd say the most unlikely would be Jeff Jarrett, number one. China, number two.
Which is so funny because that was the match that made Jeff Jarrett number one.
Actually, good point.
China.
Yeah, it was. It was the good house cleaning match that where his contract was up that started this whole ball rolling.
Yeah. But I mean, I believe that. I think your chick to go in this year. Again, I just keep going with the Sable is the one that jumps out at me.
Sable for sure.
To go in.
You talk about movie merchandise, movie ratings.
Her husband is the fucking champion, and you know. So I mean, there's still a connection there. So you can bring, like, you know what I mean. She's probably going to
should he induct her?
I don't think you want to. I don't think you want to draw attention to that. I don't think you run for it, but I don't think you draw attention to it.
Yeah, I don't see her going in this year. I do think she will go in. I have no question about that. Tori Wilson and Stacey Keebler is two more I can see them wanting to get in. If you're looking for a girl.
To go in this year. I mean, I just, you know.
If you're looking for a girl. I'm not so sure we'll have a female this year. I mean, you might not.
Did we have one last year?
Lita last year, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're going to get it. They have a chick every year, don't they?
I don't think they have a chick every year. I think they kind of change off like a chick and a manager and these things.
They had a chick, they had Trish the year before, right?
Was it last year that Paul Bearer went in? It was last year, wasn't it? Or was it the year before?
No, it was Paul Bearer and Lita, both.
Yeah, last year, yeah.
And then the year before was Trish, right?
Yes. Okay, and the year before that wasn't anybody. And the year before that, I don't think it was anybody.
When did Sunny go in?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe... Yeah, you're right. 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm just wondering, I'm going to look this up now.
The other female that I think has probably a better chance than Sable, if they're going to go with somebody this year, is Mickie James.
Yeah, or if you're going to do, do you do a package? And does Elizabeth go in?
I think that would be... What are you laying odds on of Savage going in? It's a thing.
I put it at 150%.
You're very certain that he's going to go in?
I'm pretty certain he's going to go in.
If he's going in, Elizabeth should go in with him, and obviously inducted by Lex Luger.
Yeah, oh yeah.
As the least he can do to make up for what he killed her.
Well, I'm just going to say that speech would kill it. Let me look at Chicks in the Hall of Fame here.
Chicks in the Hall of Fame, is that how you typed it?
Yeah.
Is Sherry's in?
Okay, here, this way, let me just go to...
Moolah.
Back.
Mae Young.
2014, we know it was Lita. 2013, we know it was Trish. In 2012... We had nobody, no chicks. In 2011, we had Sunny.
Okay.
I love the picture of Bob Uecker here, by the way. It's him playing baseball, which is great.
Bob fucking Uecker? Bob fucking Uecker?
Oh, yeah, fucking Bob Uecker. Bob Uecker's in the fucking Hall of Fame. So it's 2011, I said Sunny.
You know what I need a conversation is Bob Uecker and Mikey Whipwreck.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yeah, 2010 was Wendy Richter.
Okay.
2009, I don't think there was a chick. No chick in 9. 2008 was Mae Young.
Mm-hmm.
2007, nothing. 2006 was Sensational Series. So, I mean, if you keep going back, they're, you know, they have...
Moolah, I think, is the only other one, right?
And then, yeah, I was going to say, that Moolah was the... since they really, since they started, it was like 06 with... what's-her-face there, so, with Sherry. And then they
so, went, is there anybody who... was really never in WWE, but there's a female that you could see going in? Is Missy Hyatt the only one you could see with any possibility?
And I don't even see that. Actually, on the National Matter Andy Savage the DVD, they talk about how Missy Hyatt was the first choice to be the manager.
But Savage was like, no, it's got to be my wife.
And he goes, I won't you meet my wife? And yeah, then they went, but...
Can you imagine if Jake Roberts had ruined Savage and Hyatt's wedding?
Man, imagine how mad Brent Brennan would be. But I don't know. I'm trying to think of any other.
Keep going.
I'm trying to think of, I mean, there's Cyndi Lauper. Like I said,
but she's a WWE one, and she should definitely be in.
Yeah, and that's it. So, I'm trying to think of any non-WWE chicks that actually, you know...
Hey, Missy Hyatt's probably the most... Maybe. Like, I can't think of... Like, she had at least at one point a prominent role in, yeah, in NWA, right?
Yeah, Medusa slash Alundra Blaze is, but I mean, again, she had the run. I mean, I guess Missy had a short run, but...
I don't really count it, though. She's not really, no. You know... yeah.
You know, and then what other women, I mean, like, other than Medusa, there was really no, you know, Luna Vachon is in the Hall of Fame somewhere, is she not?
I don't think so. Look her up.
Thought, and I didn't see her on this list, and I'm thinking, like, didn't fucking Luna Vachon get it?
I don't think so, no. Mad Luna Dog, Vachon, but not Luna.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think she's in. And again, I have no problem with her. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there is anybody, not unless they, I mean, we've seen them having Antonio Inoki and Mil Máscaras and Carlos Colon, the youngster. And, you know, people like that. So we have seen them taking people from other territories. You can still see them taking somebody from Europe who is just a big star in Europe. You know, you can see them do another person. So, I mean, if you're looking at females, at some point in time, you almost kind of go, well, what about some of the females? You know, what about, you know, Aja Kong or something like that? Like, is that completely impossible? I mean, because I almost think, why wouldn't you... What's that?
I would say Bull Nakano probably first.
Because people would know her, but as far as how big a star she was, what's that?
No one's going to know either one, but I mean...
They'd know her more. She was at least in both WCW and WWE, even if not for long. WWF yeah. There. But, I mean, she... Well, actually, Aja Khan was brought over, but she beat up the women so bad that they said they couldn't use her, basically, right?
Well,
to, like, a tryout or something?
Lundra left. Survivor Series, Aja Kong came in and beat the fuck out of Lundra Blaze, and that was going to set up the next program. But then a month later,
that was it. Yeah,
just dropped the belt in the garbage.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there is some. I mean, again, there's no reason that there's some of the legendary Japanese performers that are female couldn't be put in, and there's other Japanese performers that could be put in besides Inoki. I mean, Inoki's almost the only one I could... Máscaras and Inoki are almost like the two that you're like, that's it. Those are the only ones that they're going to put in. We've fulfilled our quota of admitting that these other places in the world are wrestling.
And Carlos Colon,
yeah.
And Stu Hart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least he has a huge WWE connection.
That's true.
You know? Yeah, I mean, again... You know, Big Daddy or something like that from Europe. I don't see.
No, because you put in David Boy Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to put a British guy in, you put in David Boy Smith, or you put in the British Bulldogs as a team. You know, you want to look at another Mexican. I mean, you got Rey Mysterio that you can put in, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, yeah, exactly. It's not going to be Dos Caras Senior anymore, right?
Definitely.
Because of what happened with his son, Alberto.
Well, I don't know that.
Well, he's a bigger star than Mil Máscaras. In, you know.
But not for their history.
Not for WWE's history, no. But in terms of reality.
Remember, they have any Japanese guys? You know, they put in Yokozuna.
You know, it's true.
So
it really does become a thing. This whole Hall of Fame. I don't know if they're trying to build a Hall of Fame that respects the wrestling world, or a Hall of Fame to just fulfill their own agenda. Because when you put in the Máscaras and the Colones and the whatever, some of the guy, what's his name? Who was the promoter?
Inoki.
Eddie Graham and Inoki, and you put in some of this stuff that hasn't been a huge part of their history. It's like it acknowledges it. It's like you're trying to actually fulfill something proper. And then you turn around and you put in, some of the people that are the scrubs. And you go, I don't know that you're going to put in another. Like Inoki's, obviously he's huge. But there's a few others at his level.
It reminds me a lot of Nitro. In that you had your scrubs. You had your cruiserweights that could look respectable. And then you had your older guys with an agenda on top. That's what the Hall of Fame is.
You know what? That's a wonderful agenda. That's a great analysis. That's an analogy. That totally fits.
Just enough guys to make it seem legit, and the rest of them are fulfilling your agenda. So it works.
I suppose. So, I mean, there might be, within the next 10 years, how many more Japanese performers do you see getting in?
In the next 10 years?
Yeah.
None.
Wow. I think you might see one. I'm not sure who, but you might see one.
No, I don't think you'd get none. In maybe the next 15 to 20 years, you might see if he sticks around Hideo Itami.
You might see Muda.
I don't know that you would see. I don't really see Muda. I don't see any of those guys. It is what it is. I mean, again, you got your Mexican guy. You can put in Rey whenever you like. You know, you could put in, put in the Bulldogs for that international flair. For the Europe market there, and then that's.
Well, I don't think a lot of people would bitch if you put in a William Regal, even a Fit Finlay, based on the standards that are being set.
Yeah. Well, you could put in a Fit Finlay.
Yeah.
He's an opening guy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, so, I mean, you've got some, but they don't have any Japanese guys. Like, I mean, they had Yoshitatsu, whatever. They had, who else? Yokozuna was the last guy.
Pat Tanaka?
Kenzo Suzuki, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Based, you had, I mean, that's it.
Yeah, again, you never really had Inoki there either, so.
Well, you did. He used to go to Madison Square Garden. He was the fucking WWF martial arts champion.
Yeah, but.
You did.
It was largely erased from their history, though. I mean,
Oh, sure. But, I mean, it's there, and it served a purpose for them. Again, that was an agenda piece.
You know, one of the things that you have for a while, when you had, like, Jim Ross there, he would push for guys to get in the Hall of Fame, and he knew his wrestling history. Mm-hmm. And now without him there, I'm wondering, does Triple H know his wrestling history enough to push in certain guys? I'm not sure if he does.
I think he just knows he has a different perspective. I mean, Jim Ross has been in the fucking wrestling business for 40 years.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, so, if not longer. I mean, and so he saw these guys. He saw a territorial system where, I mean, yeah, sure, Hunter's been in the business for, say, 25, but it was a different system. He knows some of the little local independent guys, and he knows the big three, right? That's his thing. I mean, Hunter never went to Japan or cared. You know, Hunter never went to Mexico for care, right? So
he's gonna. No, well, that's the thing. He never went. He never went, and he wouldn't know about Danny Hodge except for what he would have heard from everybody else, right? Like, he would have no first-hand knowledge of guys like this. You know, so, I mean, you're kind of... I mean, that guy who... I don't know if there's anybody else. I don't know if Pat Patterson or Briscoe, maybe. Briscoe probably still has some... He would probably have some suggestions for the Hall of Fame, and he would know his history and have a sense of that. And I'm not really sure that there's a lot of these guys left. So some of these older generation guys that aren't in yet, if they don't get in pretty soon, you have to wonder if they're... You're going to completely lose their chance, and unless they open up a wing or a spot just for, you know, grandfathering in the older stars.
But I think it doesn't matter, honestly. I don't think it's again, that's making it too legit. That's making it more legit than WWE will make it. It's part of WrestleMania weekend. It's a way to honor the big stars and give some credit to some lesser stars that were there. And that's all it is. I mean, the big thing will be...
Off the top of your head, if I just say to you right now then, based on that, who are your top 10 most likely to get in this year?
Oh, God, top 10.
Or top 10, or top 5 most likely. Or who do you think should it be? And who do you, like, just off the top of your head, don't have to give me a certain number, but... Who are the guys who you think most should get in, or who do you think the guys who are most likely to get in?
I think, like I said, I'll go with Randy Savage, and I'll even say Elizabeth. I mean, to me, it's Elizabeth or Sable. It's not both. But either way, Savage and Elizabeth to go in. I would also look at... See, it's tough. And then, I don't have a good... I mean, I would like the Bulldogs to go in. But they don't seem to want to put the tag teams in. Owen Hart's on my list every year.
Of course, yeah.
To go in. But again, you don't put Owen and the Bulldogs in the same year either. Again, there's all these little nuanced subtleties that go on, right? And do you stick with some local the local flair, right? Does Pat Patterson go...
They've gotten away from that for... They've gotten away from that for a large degree.
It's the Von Erichs. I think Cindy Lauper...
Who were you saying? Pat Patterson? He's already in.
He's already in. I know, but does he go in again as the Blonde Bomber? Because that was local San Francisco Roy Scheider territory stuff. Right?
No.
So I know, they got away from it. I'm just throwing out a suggestion. The Michael Hayes and the Freebirds. You know, again, go in. Cindy Lauper and Randy Savage to me are the no-brainer ones that should go in. Without a doubt. And then, you know, you can throw Elizabeth or Sable in there. And that those are my slam dunks.
That you think should go in.
Should go in. I mean, hell, honky-tonk man needs to go in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No question.
And put him in the same year as Savages. Great.
Yeah.
You know, and Elizabeth, you know.
Well, I think it's one of the things that they like to... Like I say, they like to have a little variety, right? So they won't go too many 80s stars. They like to have a 90s star, an 80s star. You know, somebody from the Attitude Era, somebody from the Rock and Wrestling Era, somebody from a smaller territory who was a promoter, maybe somebody from another country or a female or somebody like they really try and give it a variety. I think I have a strong feeling JBL's going to go in this year.
Yeah, that could be.
I could definitely see that. I'd love to see his speech. It'll be great.
I'd like to see Cornette get in.
Oh, I'd love to, but that's not going to happen.
I'm just thinking, like, how many managers are left?
Slick is the only guy I can think of.
That would be great.
But he's the most likely manager I could think of.
Vader?
Pardon me?
Vader?
I don't think we'll see him go in this year, but again, he's obviously more than deserving.
Well, and we keep talking about, I mean, how can you go wrong without Sting?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, there's the Sting factor. I mean, we got a question from Reese Rogers who wants to know, when is Sting coming?
Is he going to wrestle or not? I think he is.
I think he's going to wrestle. So, I mean, does he go in the Hall of Fame and wrestle? Or does he wrestle and then next year go in the Hall of Fame?
Next year he goes in the Hall of Fame. This year I think your Hall of Fame is... I think you have Savage and Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I think you have... I think you have Cyndi Lauper. I think that's a good one. I could see that happening. JBL, just a gut feeling. And Undertaker's your headliner.
Wow.
That's kind of what I see.
Yes. That's kind of the way they do things, isn't it?
Yeah.
In my mind, if you have Randy Savage, you don't need The Undertaker. But
Randy Savage can't give the speech. So, I mean, I think you do Randy Savage, and then you have Undertaker. The guy I'd love to see get in is Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah.
It's time for him to get his due. So, yeah. It kind of wasn't on your list. Yeah. But there's somebody. Yeah. So, I mean...
But I think, too, when Taker... if Taker goes in, it's done. It's like 150% he's not coming back.
I think you're right. And I don't think he's coming back.
Because he's Captain Kayfabe. And he's not going to do that speech until it's over.
No, I agree. I agree, and I think he's going to do that speech. I think it's over. Yeah, I don't have a sense this guy's coming back.
Because you'll get... The one thing that's nice about Taker going in and is that on at WrestleMania the next night, we'll get the entrance.
Yes, we will.
So.
And I do think we'll see that, and that's another reason why I think we'll see this year. Yeah. I watched Lucha Underground. Did you watch it?
No.
And you're not alone. I mean, I don't think that they had even... I'd be surprised if they had 80,000 people see it.
You know how many people they had? I know how many people they had.
Well, no, you don't.
18,000.
No, you don't. That's 18,000 in the first run. Then you add... It was replaying on that network all week, and then it's available for download. I watched on Daily Motion, so I think it's probably 80,000 people or so in total. Just still not that many. Probably about 50,000 on that network over the course of the week.
18,000.
Well, it's more than that, but I like it. It's very different. One of the things about, I see myself. I'm a wrestling fan. I'm a wrestling fan, and I have been in the past a hardcore WWE fan, but right now I'm a casual WWE fan and a hardcore wrestling fan. You, I've always considered a hardcore WWE fan and a casual wrestling fan.
That's true.
And so even back in the day, I mean, during most of the Monday Night Wars, we weren't in contact. Those are good years, by the way.
Best of my life.
But those were, like 99, 98. I imagine you cheering for the WWF over the WWE, and you'd watch Nitro, but you didn't like it as much. Because WWF was yours. You felt the ownership of it.
I was cheering for WWE to WWF to be WCW. This is true.
Yeah, I wasn't. I just wanted to watch both and enjoy both. And I've never understood. I don't understand Android phones over iPhones or... Xbox One versus PS4, or Nintendo versus Sega back in the day, or DC versus Marvel, and all this. It's like, watch what you watch, and enjoy what you watch, and whatever. And if you're just a WWE fan, there's about 5 million in North America, I'd say there's about 5 million WWE fans, and about 10% of those are hardcore fans. But 500,000, that's borne out by the network numbers.
No. Actually, every household in America has 47 WWE fans. They did a survey.
Okay, and it was accurate. So yeah, I'd say that you have about 500,000 hardcore WWE fans, and you have probably less than 100,000 hardcore wrestling fans in North America. Right. Maybe less than 50,000.
Yeah, I'd say probably about 100,000.
Yeah, probably about 100,000, yeah. Well, based on our downloads that we see. What's that? Did I lose you? I lost him. So this is good. It's on Skype. I'll just keep going. Except for it doesn't make any sense to keep going because the whole point I needed to make was to insult him. And so if Addy's not there, it kind of loses the whole thing. That's the noises a Skype makes. Now, I will be editing this later, and you'll be thinking to yourself, is he going to edit this sound out? And as you can probably tell, listening to that sound, as I continue to try and talk and what we call waste time, no, I'm not going to edit that out. Or maybe I am. This is going on so long. You hear me? Say something else.
Something else.
Okay, there you are. All right.
Yeah, no, I know. I couldn't hear. Settings were still on speakers or whatever. But I just rebooted the computer because everything else fucking sucks.
Well, I think it's fair to say that that computer's near its end of days.
Yes, it's definitely not in the fast lane.
No, it's no Speed Force.
Strike with speed.
Yeah. Anyway, I was saying that I'm a wrestling fan. There's probably, we're saying 100,000 hardcore wrestling fans. I'd say about a million casual wrestling fans based on Impact numbers. I think that's about right. Casual.
That's not right.
So, I mean, I don't know. Lucha Underground, though, isn't, I don't know who it's for, because it's not like a, like, Raw is a wrestling television show. Lucha Underground is more like a television show that happens to feature wrestling. But the wrestling comes across almost like it's more like an episode of Breaking Bad. Like, backstage skits and more kind of, you know, episodic plots and different lighting and settings, and it's filmed in a different way. And even the wrestling matches come across more like fight sequences from a kung fu style movie than a wrestling match. So it's fresh, and it's a setting that's fresh. It's in a fight club type setting, and you know there's stairs and stuff like that, and there's not the ramp and all the same stuff. And so it's a different place for the performers to perform, and it's got good action, but it's not typical wrestling action. Not that it doesn't feature real wrestling. Does, but it the wrestling is, it's like I say, it's more of a television show or that's taking part in a wrestling world. Whereas Raw is definitely a wrestling television show. As much as they want to say we create movies, pal, when I saw this, I'm like, no, you don't. You have wrestling matches and you have a show around it. It's a wrestling television show.
So you're saying Lucha Underground is more, say, like a weekly episodic television program?
That's what I'm trying to say, yes. But I really enjoyed it, though. It's got really good acting. It's got really good filmography. And it's got really good action. And the storylines make sense. They made Chavo Guerrero seem relevant. You know? Think about that.
Then you must love this show.
And it doesn't hurt that Ricochet, who plays the Prince Puma character, is incredible. So,
yes.
So I would say to people, go check it out definitely go check it out on Daily Motion or whatever, and just give it a try if you like a good TV show that happens to have wrestling. I would definitely give it a try. I mean, like I say, I mean, this week, because I wasn't watching Raw, I watched that, and I told you what I watched on the network already, but I also watched some Dragon Gate. So I watched Ricochet versus UHA Nation, and now I know who UHA Nation is, and he's awesome. UHA Nation.
Oh, I thought that was like a nation of, like, I thought that was like a movement for people to go drink that, have some of that, what do you call it, that yogurt type drink.
UHA?
Join the UHA Nation.
No, this is UHA. I think that's how you pronounce it. Either way, the guy's awesome. He's like,
Isn't he in Scent of a Woman?
Ooh-ha!
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 So you're expecting this competitor, this UHA Nation, to, say, become dominant?
Nation of Domination. I can see him. I think there's no question he'll end up. I mean, he's an American wrestler. He's an American guy. He reminds me of, it's like they used to call Lex Luger the total package, because he was the perfect package of speed and power and agility, which is a load of crap. But this guy really is.
My penis.
The agility of your penis is very impressive. Jumps up and down, jump and down.
That's right. It's also going on a Call to America tour.
Stand and salute, folks.
I'll be your penis.
Well, Addy is a dick.
Yeah. And always fat. I'll be your penis.
Anyway, so this guy, he will end up probably in WWE. He's like total package, except for he looks like Bobby Lashley. And not quite as big, like, pectoral muscles. But pretty much generally a lot like that. And, but yeah, speaking of Bobby Lashley, Big Zeke. They made him seem cool in Lucha Underground.
Seriously.
Or now, as we've known there, the Boss or Big Rick.
Oh.
But seriously, they did. They made him seem extremely cool. He's sitting there, he's got his little group of gangbangers, like, the plot is that they've opened up this fight club and they got all these luchadors and best wrestlers from the world coming in.
He has a group of what?
Gangbangers.
Okay.
I don't know what else we call them, but street thugs. Let's say street thugs.
Street thugs, okay. I thought something else was going on.
No, China is not on this show.
It's underground.
But yeah, I mean, he's got like this group of street thugs and he's like the boss of them, but he's like so much bigger than them. They're rustling. He's up on the stage, and he's sitting there in the crowd, up on the steps, smoking a cigar. It's a really cool visual, the way it seems. Like,
I was gonna say that would be the thing that you could do with him, is because he would be so much bigger than the luchador, right? Like, he could physically stand out.
He does.
It's like Dolph Lundgren, not that huge, but compared to Sylvester Stallone, he was like a monster, right?
Exactly. So it's a good use of him again, like I say. So, but back to this UHA Nation. Yes, you're going to see him. So you should check that out. Ricochet versus UHA Nation and some other Dragon Gate stuff I was watching. And I just started watching G1 Climax, the tournament from. As soon as I said Climax, your head was down. It popped up like like Climax.
We've gone from gangbangers to
climax. Oh, wait a second. We've gone from your penis on tour of America
yes.
to gangbangers to climax.
So now we have a show title.
yes. Some of that, and ROH, of course, and then there's IPVs. I'm watching all sorts of wrestling.
What is it, EWWHA?
What?
EWWHA, UHA.
No. UHAA, Nation. UHA Nation.
Okay, because I was thinking this was the kind of reaction you got after your prom. Down your pants, you got, ew! Ha!
Oh, my pants remained on at my prom.
Oh, that's the best prom in
Or in Canada, as we call it, the grad.
The grad. See, that's why I just never wore pants.
Well, I've never known you to wear pants anywhere. The amazing thing is, you work in finance. You walk into the office, everybody else is in a suit. There you are with your tie and no pants.
It's my birthday suit.
right.
So we get to the Twitter question.
Okay, one other thing I just want to say. I was looking at some of the financials a little closer. And they're talking about how most people are breaking down, going, wow, they had a big year. They've gone from having $100 million in cash to having $69 million. So they've lost almost 40%, about 35% of their reserve in 1 year.
Yeah.
So how long are they going to be in business for again?
6 billion years.
At that pace, huh? But everybody's talking about how, despite the low network numbers, with the fact that the television deals are going to escalate in what they're paying out, and, I mean, the guys aren't getting paid hardly anything, but the television deals will escalate, and they've made all these cuts, and so they're going to be fine at you know, and profitable next year again and everything. I think what they're missing is all the other revenue streams are going to go down. The only revenue stream that went up, has gone up, has been sales of merchandise from the website. Live event ticket sales are down. Pay-per-view, obviously. Just everything else is going down. So as long as everything... And I don't think this stuff has even bottomed out yet. Everybody's assuming everything's going to stay the same. Everything's going to continue to go down. I don't think we've seen it bottom out yet. So it's going to get worse. The website will get worse than the everything.
Wow. Good news from Mo. I like the Survivor Series build.
All right, let's get to the Twitter question.
Yeah, the other thing that I will mention, just in terms of it's a tiny number. I'm not going to read anything into the number. But
so it's the amount of people who watched Lucha Underground.
No, actually, it's less than that.
Oh, it's the amount of people that give a shit about whether or not TNA is going to get a new deal. By the way, is that imminent?
By the way, that's one of our tweets. For some fucked up reason,
we do have to tell people what's going on there with TNA.
Yeah, and for some fucked up reason, it does really appear like Kurt Angle was re-signed with them because he is a moron. But the
well, they both are.
Well, yes, but Impact was scheduled to go two more Impact shows, and then it was set to go to the best of TNA for like the next 6 weeks. Starting on November 26th. Well, on November 26th now, Spike TV is airing a movie.
Yeah. But after that, they're supposed to... There's somebody that said they're going to go back to airing Best of TNA, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, the thing is that's what everybody's saying, is like they're airing this movie, they're not airing the Best of TNA, this thing is starting on November 26th. What everybody's missing here is they said, we need you to air the Best of TNA, Spike. So they put on a movie. Because that is the best of TNA.
Good point.
Not being on.
That's true.
So, they're doing what they are contractually obligated to do. It's ambiguous, a little bit, the language. But I feel that a movie is the best of TNA.
I think you're probably right. And
not being on is the best that TNA has to offer me.
So they have two more shows, right?
Two more shows. There's Bobby Roode in the middle of the ring saying, this is my dream. You dream of this. Be holding a belt in front of you. 250 people. Wow. This is great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and...
It actually sounds like it's been better. I've given up on it.
Oh, I've given up on it because the last thing I really want is to watch something and go, man, this is really good. I sure hope it doesn't go away right now. When I know it's just about to go away.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
well,
you know.
But I mean, even WCW wasn't at its worst when it went off the air.
No, it wasn't. No. They had refocused a little bit.
It happened kind of about 6 months before it went off the air was probably when it had
bottomed out.
But it seems to be the same way for TNA here as well. But it is what it is. I mean, you can only do so much, and you know, it's momentum's a hard thing to stop. So, you know, they had a couple good shows. It's a little too late. It's over. Fuck off. Die already.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
They're bringing in people. They've got this freaking guy from India.
Yeah. Well, they're hoping to make money. They're hoping to make money running a tour in India. I know. And maybe that's what they'll become. Maybe they'll become a touring company. You know?
On TV?
Yeah, a touring company that tours in foreign places with some recognizable stars a few times a year. Makes money off that tour. Yeah. But sure. But as far as TV, no, I mean, and as far as North America, did you say 18,000 people watch Lucha Underground?
Yes.
So they're the number three company behind ROH is number two.
Yeah.
And, you know, TNA is just, there's, I don't think there's going to be a lot of people crying. Like, we talk about hardcore TNA fans, we've seen that. That's less than 10,000 people. Because yeah, that's the ones they'll pay for the pay-per-view.
Those are, pay-per-view buyers, right? So, yeah. That's brutal.
Yeah.
But, we'll do the Death of TNA show
as soon as we can. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
This is probably going to be my favorite show we've ever done.
One of the things, the Death of WCW book, right at the end, he just mentions, and like he has a thing, lesson learned, and he just lists all the dumb shit that WCW's done. You know what? I could just read these out to you if you want. Or we could save it for when we do the Death of WCW. Or Death of TNA, I mean. But,
yeah, let's save it for the Death of TNA.
Yeah, now I think about it, we'll save it, but it's just these things that he lists, and I guess
probably be in like a week and a half anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess that these, and it's a good book, I recommend it to people, but I guess that, and they may make a movie of it, Addy, don't worry. But, what's that?
Excellent.
That's your chance. Your chance to, well, you lived it. You lived it, but
wait to see who plays the wall. Joey Lawrence.
I like it. But, so they listed, I guess at the end, like, they listed this. The people in TNA were pissed off that they did that. They just wrote a whole book of all the dumb things WCW did to kill itself. And then they had a chapter on all the dumb ways WWE screwed up the invasion. And then they list, like, it was like 4 pages worth of just, like, bullet points of dumb things that TNA has done since its inception. And so they were really pissed about that. But I think it's true. I mean, there was 4 pages of dumb things that TNA has done, but you could have come up with a page and a half or 2 pages of dumb things in the same period WWE's done. So I can understand why they're pissed off, but WWE isn't about to go out of business because of their dumb things. They're going to lose what? They're losing $40 million or something. So, not nearly what TNA probably lost.
Not even what TNA is worth.
I know.
So, I mean,
New Japan is the most profitable company. AAA or Dragon Gate would be the most profitable company this year. WWE is still by far the biggest.
Yeah. And it's inevitable. It's one of those things.
You have three wrestling companies making money. ROH, I wouldn't consider... ROH, I'm not sure if they've made money or not this year. I doubt it. The other guys, you know, AAA and New Japan and Dragon Gate will have. And then you got, you know, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, Booker.
Yeah. All right, what's your question?
Well,
I can answer... What's your question?
Earlier in the week, to ask people, because I knew that... because basically right now... professional wrestling world sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd ask for people's favorite moments of the year to have some positivity on the show.
Shouldn't we wait till the last show of the year to do that? The Christmas party
just
show?
Just some favorite moments thus far this year.
All right.
Because now we'll do our own stuff at the end of the year, and we'll probably just talk and really won't listen to the people. So I thought this was a good idea, good chance for people to voice their opinion as well. So there were actually there wasn't that much of a.
You know what we need is a name for our people who are listeners and followers.
Mm-hmm.
Like not the WTW universe. I don't like that.
No.
And WTW mites.
We talk WrestleManiacs.
Done.
Okay. WTW
let's hear some of the thoughts from some of the WTW maniacs.
Okay. Kalisti, I said the thing that stood out was the Shield breakup. Was the thing that.
Am I supposed to comment on these? Because that might take away my comments in a couple months.
Hmm. You don't have to. You can if you want.
Okay. It's definitely something that is one of the most memorable things in WWE this year.
It's true. And actually, Johnny Kay also said the Shield breakup, as did Roger. So, there were a few here. Twin Blady, our good friend Twin Blady, tweeted to say his favorite memory of the year thus far was the Shield Wyatt stare down.
Oh, it was great. Was that that was like January, though, February. Was it? February?
February. Did they do a match, or was it around the chamber?
Well, they did the stare down the first time way before they did the match. It might even have been like December of last year.
Could have been, yeah.
Yeah.
But the stare down was
awesome.
They did a few of them, yeah. So, because it was, you know, they just had to, kill it. But Troy Johnson Jr., this will be your favorite one, had said that his favorite moment in WWE this year was Vince's announcement about the Survivor Series. This could change everything.
What?
Vince's announcement about the Survivor Series. This could change everything.
How?
The authority wouldn't be the authority anymore, Bob.
And so we go into... that changes... Nothing changes in WWE. They'll be the authority, and then they won't be the authority for 3 months, and then they'll be in power again. Or somebody else will, and it'll be the exact same thing.
So you're saying that not everything will change?
What was that guy's name again? Mark?
Troy Johnson Jr.
Oh.
He's a WTW maniac.
Troy Johnson. Are you sure it doesn't Troy? I'm sure he's a Mark, but maybe it's Troy Martin Jr.?
Well, that could be. His Twitter picture is like a bullseye. From Target.
Yeah.
And a variety of people, too many to name. I think that...
I'd like to launch him into the side of a Target building.
It was like 15 people that voted for, that had sent in Daniel Bryan winning the title.
Yeah, well, that was a great moment, too.
So,
yeah.
That seems to be the consensus we got there. So, those are our the people's favorite moments of the year thus far. So, anything that you want to add to that or comment to that?
Nope, I'm going to save it.
You're going to save it?
I'm going to save it until we get to the point where we're doing I'll talk about my favorite moments of the year, and there'll be four or five from WWE, and then there'll be probably 10 or 15 from other places.
And I will see none of them. Actually, that's not true, because we'll have some ROH stuff.
You'll definitely have some ROH in there, for sure.
Man. When's the final battle is that what it's called, or the end of the year thing? Yeah, that's like December 6th or something.
Yeah, when is the next ROH pay-per-view? Yeah.
I think it's December the 6th.
Okay, well, let me look it up. While I do that, why don't you sing a song?
I watched ROH television with the main event being AJ Styles, the phenomenal AJ Styles, against Evan Royd Bourne.
Matt Sydal.
Yeah, what do they call him? Reborn Matt Sydal was his name. It was his name. I called him Royd Bourne. Matt Sydal. He was looking like he had been in the WWE at one point in his career.
I don't think he looked all that. I didn't think he looked all that. He just looked like he was in great shape to me.
No. He looked like he was in great chemical shape to me.
Not to me. No, I didn't think so. He was not. He was skinny still. He wasn't.
He was
a muscle.
He was not. He's on steroids the same way John Morrison is on steroids.
I gotcha. Final battle is, what did you say it was?
December 6th. No, I don't know if it's called Final Battle. It's whatever the next fucking thing is.
Right? Yeah, no, it's the next thing is, it's Final Battle. It's on December 7th, dummy.
Oh, fuck. I'm busy. Well, it's December 7th. Is that a Saturday?
I don't know.
Good. Thanks for being on top of these things. This is our crack team of experts here. Let me just go...
That's a Sunday.
It is a Sunday.
It is a Sunday. Sunday.
It's crazy. Well, it's good. They'd always been doing Saturday shows.
That's yeah, that's good. But now they're on traditional pay-per-view, right?
So?
Good point.
So you're saying that it's 1998?
It is for ROH.
Yes, it is. We got the New Japan show, the Tokyo Dome show, January 4th.
January 4th, yep. I really hope JR calls it. Mike Tanay will be all right, too. But I really hope JR calls it.
Yeah, I was hoping for JR. They haven't settled the announced spots, but I'm hoping for JR.
If JR calls it, I think that will mean more buys than I think that will get casual buyers. I think it'll get a small bump from that, so you'd mean more.
I think it'll be a nominal bump, but I think you might get...
when you say nominal, I mean, what do we think? 15,000 people will buy it, and maybe it'll go to 20?
How many?
15,000 people will buy it, and maybe this will bring it to 20.
I was going to say 10,000 people will buy it, and this will bring it to 10,500.
Okay, I think it's more than that.
No, because if you're buying the show, you're a hardcore enough fan that, like, I will buy the show. Right? We will watch the show just to say that we've watched the show.
Yeah.
It's not to say that I'm not going
to. And to support Global Force Wrestling. GFW.
But I mean, if JR wasn't calling it, I'd still be ordering it. Like, I don't think there's enough people where it's like.
I think you're forgetting one thing.
I'm not going to order the New Japan show unless JR is calling. Like, in that Venn diagram, it's like squished right together.
Okay, I think you're forgetting one thing. If JR's podcast has almost as many listeners as ours. It has his podcast with Tony Schiavone, for instance, had 1.2 million downloads. Okay.
Yes.
So if he's getting a million people listening to his podcast, who say to him, and that's how many people he's reaching. He's going, I'm going to be calling my first wrestling match in this long. It's this event. It's going to have these people on it, and he promotes it regularly. It'll be more than 500. I'm not saying a ton. I'm saying 5,000. But
no,
it'll be more than 500.
I'm not saying it's going to mean...
Because that's more people than our casual fans.
I don't know.
Man, you'll get some casual fans. They'll check it out to check out JR. Guaranteed.
I don't think so. Really not near... Nah. It depends on the price point, too. But, I mean... And you gotta spend...
From what I've heard, we're probably looking at $24.95 American.
I think you're... Yeah, but looking at 4 hours, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, it's a time commitment as well. Is JR for free on a podcast when I'm going to work or I'm going to...
Yeah, but we're talking about a million people. We're not talking about a high turnover rate if I'm saying 5,000 people check it out because of that.
I'm just trying to figure there are 5,000 enough people that are dumb enough to think that 4 hours worth of JR is worth their $25. I mean,
I think so.
I guess I forget that Alabama is a state. So you might have...
Well, Oklahoma.
Yeah. So are there 5,000 people in Oklahoma?
I think so.
Okay. So maybe, I don't know. To me, it's a nominal percentage of what they would be doing anyway.
Well, again, it's a nominal amount, 5,000, but compared to...
Well, no, it's not, because you said if 15,000...
Yeah, exactly, it's a 25% bump.
Yeah, so that's not a nominal amount of the whole... What I'm saying is, of their whole pie, what is JR going to increase it to? Because I said, I'm going with that Venn diagram of people that aren't going to watch the show unless JR is on or are already buying the show anyway. And I think that the people, those 15,000 to 20,000 people, are going to buy the show anyway. And then Jim Ross, it's going to be like 500 people that will be like, oh, Jim Ross is gone and I had no idea this show was even on. Oh, okay, I'll order it. No, most of the people that are going to order it are going to order it anyway.
I think, like I say, I'll stay by my numbers. If he's on, it'll be 15,000. If he's on there, it'll be 20. I think those are fair. I look at those numbers of ROH. I even look at the numbers of Affliction when they ran, MMA event with people nobody knew, but or hadn't seen, but there was curiosity. So, I mean, I think... And
it wasn't that, people that nobody knew, though. They had a bunch of... They had Andre Arlovsky, and then they had Fedor on there, too.
Well, nobody knew Fedor here. It was the thing. Nobody had really seen him.
Well, that's true.
And he was the big draw, right?
But they did have some ex-UFC name.
They had one. Yeah, you're right. They had one.
I remember who that is. I don't remember all of the Affliction thing from... Didn't they have bands there? Like Megadeth Plan or something?
Yeah, that didn't help their pay-per-view buys.
How do you know?
Yeah, same reason it didn't help the rate quarter rating when they played for on Nitro.
You know what Affliction needs to get up to that $500,000 million buy?
Kiss?
Ad-Brock.
If they had had...
Ad-Brock.
Yeah, Ad-Brock. Or Kiss playing, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
But then Kiss would have had to have gone over Fedor.
The Kiss Demon. I love that. The demon, Kiss Demon. Contractually obligated to be in a certain number of main events. So the second match in the card, a special main event for the night, and that would contractually obligate them to.
Yeah.
Great. Alright, let's get the hell out of here.
It was called a main fucking event.
What?
Alright, yeah, let's get out of here. That's all the questions that'll be interesting to see as we are on the road to the Survivor Series. When is the Survivor Series?
I don't know.
Yeah. That's good.
I won't be watching Raw leading to it, so I'll count on you to tell me these things. I'll watch it. I'll watch the pay-per-views. Just watching the 12 pay-per-views without watching the TV would keep the product so much fresher and more enjoyable.
I don't know. I'm not sure about this.
No?
Let's see.
I'll only see the same matches again probably 4 or 5 times that year instead of 40 or 50.
That's true. That part is true. Oops.
If you need help spelling it.
Jesus Christ. I've driven Survivor Series and it like barely comes up.
Well, that's how many people are going to watch it, even for free.
Well, it's because I'm on Wikipedia here.
Are you bothering to cancel your subscription and resubscribe because you get the month free? Like a lot of people?
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it?
A lot of people are doing that. I am too lazy.
Well, the thing is...
I don't think $10 is a lot of money.
$15 means, yeah, it's, I'm fine with that. You know what I mean?
It's, yeah, exactly.
For everything that I do get, you know, it's November 23rd. Good. I'll watch it. I was
going to
be in Vegas.
Actually, I have some plans that weekend. I just can't remember what it was.
To fasten your safety belt and get ready for the ride that is Survivor Series?
No. Something fun.
Oh. Entertaining. I gotcha. Yeah. I don't know what that could be.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. Well, whatever.
Now I'm stoked. But anyway, we have 2 matches. We have officially Dean Ambrose against Bray Wyatt.
That is official, and, yes.
And official. So we got 2 matches made official. Well, 3. Because, what's her cunt's fighting, what's her cunt?
Bree versus AJ? Or AJ, yeah, versus Nikki?
That's right. Yes. Nikki versus, yeah.
It'll remind us of the good old days when CM Punk took on John Cena.
It really will. It really won't. And Daniel Bryan is just watching on the sidelines.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, he's watching on the sidelines with the San Francisco Giants, the World Series champions. Not that anybody who watches Raw would know that.
My God, okay, here's something. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I totally forgot about this. That Daniel Bryan was the Yes Chant, whenever they got a home run, the Yes Chant was huge in San Francisco. In the World Series champion San Francisco Giants, it was part of their shtick for the year, right?
Yeah.
When they get a home run, it's yes, 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 yes. Okay. I remember I remember going back listening to an interview maybe in 2000 and 2001 from Bobby the Brain Heenan. And Bobby the Brain Heenan talked about how Bill Goldberg went out and they were in St. Louis. And Bill Goldberg went to the batting practice of the St. Louis Cardinals and met up with Mark McGwire. And was there and was hanging out with Mark McGwire. Mark McGwire hit 3 home runs that night. Not a mention on WCW. But Bobby Heenan's point was, if that was Vince, he'd have his cameras there, he'd have had Goldberg showing Goldberg touching the bat, them hugging, and him, and the announcers making mention of it like 2 or 3 times during that television. And not anymore.
Welcome to 2014. Yeah, that quote is in WCW, or the death of WCW, is one of the quotes that they use when they're talking about why this company went out of business.
Yeah.
And that's the WWE today.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly the WWE today. It's this guy that wasn't the company's choice that got over, that happened to get hurt, that's caught on, that they don't know how to take advantage of. Yeah, and he's giving them a fucking belt at the parade.
Yeah, and he's on ESPN and all this stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah. No, don't use that.
Fuck him.
Yeah.
But he's a marketing genius.
Yeah.
Clever.
Yeah. He's clever. Yeah.
Fuck.
Guarantee you Paul Heyman sitting at home going, I can't believe how dumb the people I work for are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what? I think it crosses his mind from time to time, but I think he's largely accepted it.
Oh, I think he doesn't care. I just think he goes, I can't believe it. And then he goes, but I'll cash my paycheck.
Yeah, but I'll cash my paycheck.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. McMahon. I'll cash my paycheck. Anyway.
All right, we're done.
We talk wrestling on Twitter.
We're OUT.
Yeah, we're at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. WeTalkWrestling.com is our website. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. We are on the TuneIn radio app. Anything else?
Like us on Facebook.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Buy the t-shirt. Are we on that, what do you call that thing, RDO?
No. I'll get on it sometime.
Not on that, so don't go there. That's going to do it there.
Yeah.
In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Did you stop your recording yet?
Not yet.
Yeah? Okay. I'm just thinking, for the future, when we're doing the show, we should probably make less references during the show to your penis.
You know what, I was thinking, you should shut the fuck up.